begins now. We'll get to some more of the clips from Goody here during the 11 o'clock hour. Tausch, one of the things I asked toward the end, and I don't know if we'll have it or not, hopefully we do, was this idea that did last year change his mentality at all about playing young guys? Because, and I mentioned this to him, you know, Ted used to say, the guys we already, it was like clockwork at the end of every draft when he would do his final Saturday, seventh round is over presser. He would say, the guys that we have already are the guys who are going to decide what this team is this year and how far we can go. Mm-hmm. And we want the young guys to be able to augment that and come in and contribute. But that's not what last year was. I mean, there's a couple of guys, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, but like, other than the offensive line, and by the way, you lost one of those guys after one game in David Bakhtiari. It was a youth palooza. And I thought it was interesting. I do believe he is looking at it as, and he said, I've always believed in giving young guys opportunities that if you can get through the growing pains, you then reap the benefits more quickly. But they're never in positions like that, especially starting with their quarterback and where he was and how he appeared to feel about young players. So my question is, if that is the new normal for them, then maybe he is adamant about picking 11 guys, maybe not 14, but picking 11 guys. And because he did talk a lot about competition too, and the idea that he really liked that no one on this team could get comfortable because you had somebody else nipping at your heels behind you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't get comfortable until you get your payday. I mean, that's kind of how the NFL cycle works. And I think Goody likes the fact that you have all these young players that are going to be jockeying. And like I said, last year's team is not going to be this year's team. Last week's gas prices aren't going to be this week's gas prices. And how this group emerges moving forward, I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that, well, this is how it's going to be moving forward. You're always going to replenish the bottom of your roster with young players that will emerge and take some spots for the guys you can't afford or that you don't deem worthy of what a free agent would get at the top of their position.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole concept changes when you pay your players. Goody's going to have to pay Zach Tom. Goody's going to have to pay whatever wide receiving group comes up. If it's going to be Wicks and if it's going to be Reed, those things will change the dynamic of your room, of your locker room, and of your team makeup. And by the way, you want that. You want guys that have earned it to get it. That's a great thing in a locker room for the guys that get paid. But it also sets the tone for all these young guys that are coming in that, hey, we do this, you're going to get taken care of in Green Bay. This two-year era that Goody's going to have with all this youth that emerged last year where you're not paying guys gives him a runway to go and sign McKinney. It gives him a runway to go and pay Jacobs. Whereas 3-4 years ago, he couldn't have done that because he had paid all of his guys that are here. And by the way, that's the way Goody wants to do it. That's the Packer way, is to keep guys homegrown. You don't want to be spending in free agency because you know you're paying top dollar for guys. And that's what they did, and that's what they're going to try to avoid. And that's where if you want to get on board with he's going to draft 11 to 14 guys this year, because maybe some of these guys will be better and they'll be cheaper another year. That's the cycle that you want to have, and you want guys emerging so that when guys get to year 6, 7, 8 and you have to make a decision, I'm going to pay this guy a ton of money. Well, we can do this, or Devontae Wyatt would be a great example. Maybe not lived up to the expectations of a first-round pick, but now it's year 3 for him, right? Or is it year 4? Year 3
no,
for
Devontae, year 3.
Right?
Yep, year 3.
Year 3 for him and Quay. Both of those guys are going to either take that jump where Goody and everybody knows, those are our dogs. Pay them. Or, I don't really want to pay him 25 to 30 a year. We'll draft this cat, and we'll let him grow and develop into the next, you know, player, and we'll pay a lot less. That's what you're going to be looking at over the next 2 or 3 years, and that's why you can't just assume and pencil in that Dontayvion Wicks is going to be the next stud, and we're going to pay him $35 million, which is going to be the receiving, you know, whatever Justin Jefferson gets. That's what you hope Dontayvion Wicks emerges into, and that's where you want to have guys in case it doesn't work out. You don't end up having to be the Gutenator and hit on every blank and draft pick, or you're going to be sitting here looking like New England and saying, oh, man, where do we even start? We got nothing. That's what you try to avoid.
So I want you to hear it from the Gutenator's mouth, what he said about accumulating more picks, and tell me if you still think it's subterfuge and disingenuous or not. Here is Goody talking about having 11 picks and never having enough.
You know, I don't ever subscribe to the thought process, hey, we got a pretty good team. There might, these guys might not have a chance to make the team. I think I've talked a lot about competition in every room and how much that accelerates the growth of your football team. I think that's the best way for your team to move forward. So to me, there's never enough, you know, you never have enough ammunition to build your room so that there's, you know, significant competition in every room. I think that's really important. So we have 11 right now. I'd love to end up with 13, 14 or more. I would never shy away from that.
So
I believe that that's what he wants. I do. I believe that's what he wants, and general managers want picks.
Okay.
But the competition part of it is a beautiful thing. But at some point, people emerge and people get paid. And I don't care what you tell guys. If you're paying Dontayvion Wicks $30 million a year, and then you try to tell me that Bo Melton, who you're paying a league minimum to, is going to take his spot, everybody's going to tell you that you're crazy and that's not what's going to happen. And it's not, unless there's injury. So at this point, what Goody's saying is completely accurate, but he knows how the NFL business works. Guys graduate. They either move on and go somewhere else, or they end up getting a nice big job in Green Bay. And when you get that gig and you sign, you're committing to that player. And while you still are going to build competition into everything, we all know that Jordan Love's going to be your starting quarterback. You can say we're going to have an incredibly competitive room. Great. Jordan Love's going to lead it. Same thing's going to happen in the tight end room. Same thing's going to happen in the O-line room. And that doesn't mean you're not going to build depth, but to sit and act like every year it's going to be dogfight city for every player at every position, that's where I get the disingenuous part, because that's just not how the NFL world works. It's just not.
We'll delve into a few other things that he said, including the conversation about subterfuge and the influence that Ted still has on him to this day. That's coming up. More from Brian Gutekunst's pre-draft press conference. And do they really like Cooper DeJean, or was that just more subterfuge? We'll talk about it next. It's F***ing Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Brian Gutekunst talked for about a half hour heading into the draft. The one player in the draft class that was asked about specifically, and he gave a specific answer about, was Cooper DeJean, however we're pronouncing
DeJean,
the Iowa safety slash corner. Right, DeJean, yeah. Right? I keep hearing it a bunch of different ways. And look, if he's available at 25, I don't want to say it'll be a miracle, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be available at 25, which then leads into what we were talking about.
Let me tell you something. If 5 or 6 QBs come off the board, I think, like Kevin Garnett said, Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Yeah. But if you're looking at the possibility of getting a guy at safety, and he did acknowledge that there is a hole at safety, right? I mean, he did acknowledge that. He says he wants somebody that can do everything. Cooper DeJean looks like the guy that can do everything. But if that means having to go up to go get him, is he willing to do that? Because what he said about what a guy has to be to make it worth going up to go get him leads me to believe that he's reluctant to do it unless it's someone really special. What constitutes special? I'm not sure, Tausch. I'm not. I don't know. But there's got to be a couple of guys that he likes enough that would even get him to give up a pick to go up and get him.
Well, and that's why this whole concept of getting 13, 14 picks, you know, if you feel strongly that a position is lacking the talent that you need to take the next step to chasing a championship, you do something about it. And whether or not that means I'm going to go get Simmons or get a veteran on a lesser deal post June 1, I think that's a viable option. Goody has shown that he's interested in doing that too. He literally, I think Goot has said, any way we can improve this team, we'll do it. Free agency, he's proven that he'll spend. Whereas Ted never really wanted to do that. Draft is still the main way to do it. That's why I think Packer fans always get excited around draft time, because that we understand this is how you get better. This is how you set your team up to be successful and to not fall into these long playoff droughts, because you hit and you have good drafts. You typically don't do that. So for him to admit that he wants a safety and he's looking for it, that makes me think that that's probably not where he's going to go in the first round. Or maybe he's just trying to play coy and lay in the weeds and subterfuge it up. Great. And if you end up getting your guy, the fact that he mentioned Cooper DeJean's name by name makes me think he's not going to be the guy.
Well, he was asked about him specifically. But to your point, he could have kind of punted on the answer, right? Like, he could have just not said, well, I'm not going to talk about anybody specifically. And the way Matt Schneidman asked him about DeJean was whether they saw him as a safety or as a corner. And he said he thinks he can play both. They love guys that are versatile around here. If that's how you feel about him, then maybe he is a guy that's worth giving up number 58 to move up in the first round to go get him. I am inclined to believe him when he says he wants more swings at the plate, especially early in the count, early in the batting order swings, which is what those first 2 days are.
Yeah, we'll see. They are, and I think the thing that has been impressive is, you know, from Goody's standpoint, is it's not like he's a one-trick pony. It's not like it's always, I'm just going to take the pick. He moves. He'll give up a pick to go up a little bit. He'll move back. He'll do both, and, you know, in the same round, as we mentioned with the 2018 draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's, I don't want to keep using the term disingenuous, because that's not the exact way I want to put it. But to act as if this year's draft, you're going to do the same thing or be similar to the approach as last year's, is just factually not where you're at. It's different. Yes, you want to create competitive atmospheres and environments in your room. That is always something every coach will say. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is, last year you had nobody at wideout. You addressed it. You've really hit you've hit some home run potential with some of these young guys that you think can make that next step. So do I anticipate if the best player available is wideout at 25, I think he trades out of it if somebody really wants that wideout. I don't think he takes a wideout. Unless it's Harrison Jr. falls to 25,
Maserati,
I don't think
Marv,
you're going to see him take a wideout at 25. That's where I think you look at it and say everybody has it, but the flexibility and the understanding of what your team needs, that does matter. Where you get in trouble is when we have to address this position. He ain't going to do that. And the nice part is there's not one, oh, my God, we have to. There's the, all right, we have four or five things that we really need. something there is going to make a ton of sense to us. And if it doesn't, we'll get that player at 60. And even if we lose out on the Reeds of the world, I'm not emotionally connected that that's going to be the case.
Right.
But I actually kind of want Goody to be emotionally connected. I want him to have his Ted Thompson, Clay Matthews moment. I want that. Ted never did it. And when he did, a lot of us would argue that helped lead you to a championship because you had that gut feeling. You trusted it. You did it. And that's what put you up on the facade at Lambeau Field.
Did that did Clay Matthews end up staying at number two in our rankings? Or did you
on my board,
did he get bumped out?
Yeah. No, on my board he is.
Yeah, that's where he belonged, in my opinion, as well.
A lot of A.J. Hawk slander. A lot of A.J. Hawk slander when Jesse put that up on social. I understand it. I disagree with it, though.
Do you disagree with it as an analyst, or do you disagree with it as a friend?
As an analyst. No, I'm like Goody. I take emotions out.
No emotion. Yeah. Yeah.
If I didn't, I'd put Balaga one, because Balaga joins our show. He's a buddy. You know, he provides stuff for us. He's the package. I'd put him at one. I didn't put him at one. I didn't put him at AJ.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I was just going to say, you put him behind AJ.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. Again, there we have it. The Goudinator has arrived.
Who put Greg gave us this?
That's from our guy Greg, yep.
All right. I don't want to be a stickler because I know Greg's doing this for free.
Oh, no.
And Goody looks great.
Don't do this.
No, hold up. It looks great. And I think Greg, with a little time, what I want him to do, he's got all the pieces there. Got all of it. He's got Lombardi time 15 minutes early. He's got everything. I want to see Goody flying like we see Christopher Reeves over there. He can go blue, the jumpsuit's got to be yellow and green. We can't do red and blue.
Other than that,
it's beautiful. Well, what? You want me to fake it and say this is perfect? It's a great starting point from Greg. Greg's a perfectionist, I can tell.
I'm not sure I agree with that, frankly.
Which part?
The perfectionist part. I think he tries to get it done quickly to serve his goal of getting it to you.
But like I said, that's a great start. But I want him flying over Lambeau in a green and gold cape with a big G on the back of with a.
So now
do you
want
to go?
How are you going to see the?
Do you
want to
go green cape, yellow G, or yellow cape, green G?
I think the suit's got to be green where you see the blue right now. So then the cape has to be yellow.
He turned this around in like 8 minutes.
He's great. Greg's great. We love him.
The cape
he's
going to
be a Hall of Fame
candidate, but this isn't good enough.
I would think next year.
Quota.
No, it's not.
It's not good enough. It's good, but we can be better.
If you do a white cape, that might actually pull it off, because then he could put the G just as it is. So green suit, white cape, yellow accent.
Yellow G?
Yeah.
Then you go yellow G on the back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm on board with that.
I'm so disappointed.
Is that unfair?
Yes.
It's unfair.
Unfair.
It is.
Do you know how hard?
Have
you ever used Photoshop in your life in any way?
Not once. Never.
So the fact that he got this turned around so quickly, for those of you, by the way, who are listening on terrestrial radio, we will tweet out Greg's handiwork. But he didn't change
Goody
the cape color.
Goody
didn't do this.
Goody looks disheveled a little bit there, too.
He
like,
looks
Goody
slow.
Doesn't look like I just saved
enormous.
The squad.
He's drained after winning the draft again.
Superman
looks a little beat
like his
after
body
he wins
and muscles look great. I'm seeing his facial expression. It looks like,
it
does
his
not
facial
look like
expression
he just saved
looks
the
like
franchise.
Don't mess with me. I'm the Goudinator. No. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the beauty of memes. It can be interpreted numerous ways.
And apparently criticized, even if they get it done very quickly. One thing that you would not criticize is Prize Picks.
No, I never criticize. I criticize myself for not using Prize Picks last night.
That's
but
true.
I will tonight. We got Joker. We got the Joker at 0.5 points. You know I'm going to go more on that. And Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. with over 3 million active members. All you do? So simple, I can use it. More or less on a 2-6 player projection. I have kind of gotten into that 3 and 4 now. That's where I live. If you want to go 6, you can get big time return, 100x in some cases, on your money with Prize Picks. You can turn 10 bucks into 1,000, blah, blah, blah. You just put it down. It's super fun. Prize Picks has your back. They also, it's really simple to play. 60 seconds or less. They offer these weekly promotions that I love. Jokers tonight. Lord knows what Taco Tuesday might look like. Download the app today. Use that code WI for a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Whoa, Nelly, scheduled next. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. Maybe that's never.
To some of the other things that Goody said tomorrow. I think we hit the biggest high notes. I do, Tausch, want to explore this idea that you got a guy in Jaden Reed who looks like a stud, right? And that you were perfectly ready to not get him. I just thought it was really interesting. And, you know, I'm fascinated by processes and being unemotional because I'm certainly not good at that part of it. But the idea
how
that
are you with processes? Are you good with processes?
I'm fascinated by other people's processes. I have my own process, but I don't think I'm interested.
Kind of fascinated by your process too. I don't know. I have no idea what your process is. So that's what I'm fascinated by. What is your process?
React to whatever goes crosses your mind is a large part of my process on this show. I was at Sydney's soccer team, had a team building thing, and all the dads now listen to the show because of the story about the official at the volleyball tournament that got after me when it was supposed to be Brian who was being yelled at. And now they listen religiously every day. And I just said, look, I get to work with a genius every day, but at times it can be a little taxing because you never know when we're suddenly going to be talking about how does soap clean itself. And so they're big fans of the show. But the process for Gutekunst is really interesting to me because he basically admitted, too bad, so sad, we would have drafted somebody else. And this is a guy that turned out to be a really, really good pick of his. So I really want to explore that tomorrow. We'll make time for that because right now it's time for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
We talked a little bit earlier about the Bucks' big win in Game 1 last night over the Indiana Pacers. Maybe it was in part sparked by the playoff mohawk being worn by Danilo Gallinari. Would you guys ever consider a mohawk for any postseason run for your kids or for a team you're a part of, for the show? Or which Packers player do you think, past or present, would best don a mohawk? Tausch?
A.J. Hawk would. One of the top draft picks in the last 20 years. I love the unity that we... And hockey is actually one of the sports that I think is best at this. They do playoff beards. They'll let the hair out. They get the hockey flow. I think that's one group, I think, that really embraces that part of it. And they do it as a team. I don't know if the NBA guys do that. I don't sense and see that. NFL guys don't really sense that either. So there's anything that you can do to unify and have a core, your core group really focus on and narrow down when it comes to playoff time, when you have all this extra added outside noise. I think it's really important. So if it's the Milwaukee Bucks want to, you know, I know, Jason, your buddy, the doc, does the green hair and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If Gallinari, I don't think it's Molinari, Jesse.
Danilo Gallinari.
I think you said Molinari. Him making some jumpers would help. No, I'll have to check back. I'll when I do my research.
Check the tape.
Playback tonight.
Sure.
Anything you could do to unify your group, I think, is a good thing, especially in the postseason.
I saw Dr. Dave with his green hair. I saw David Gruber and Ted Kellner courtside in their seats. It was fun to watch Dalla Dame Dalla. It's nice that Thanasis gets the order of those two words correct in the Thanalysis podcast with him, as opposed to other people on the panel. It was fun to watch him play, and it was fun to see him play well. That was pretty cool. Be that as it may, Molinari and his hair, I don't think really have an impact either way.
Whoa, Nelly!
The cross-country team, when they would make the state tournament, would always do Mohawks when I was in high school at Mesquite. That was like their thing. And it was always like at the end of the school year. And so it was like prom pictures or graduation pictures. Everybody's got Mohawks when they never would. I always thought it was kind of weird. But maybe that's just me. Besides the Bucks series, we mentioned in trivia earlier that every home team won. What?
Maybe that's just me.
It's just you.
Whoa, Nelly!
Just me. Besides the Bucks series, every home team won, and there was mostly blowouts throughout the opening round game ones. Is there a particular series besides Bucks Pacers that has piqued your interest in the first round of the NBA playoffs? Tausch?
Yeah, Mavs Clippers is interesting to me. I think that's another series that's going to be Natasha Bedingfielded. I'm curious if the Lakers, who led most of the game till the third, you know, end of the third, fourth quarter, if they can make that thing interesting. The defending champ Nuggets, but the Mavs Clippers, Kawhi Leonard doesn't even play, and the Mavs get run out the gym. That's intriguing. You got somebody that everybody's pushing hard to be the MVP and Luka Doncic.
I think Luka Doncic,
great offensive player. Doesn't play any defense at all. Can you be an MVP if you don't play any defense at all?
Would you say his that defense series is Doncic-o? Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Connor Asigian announced where he's going over the weekend.
Oh, he did?
Nebraska.
What do you think they paid him? What do you think they had to give him to go there?
$1 million.
No.
I don't know, because I think he was probably unhappy with what his situation was at Wisconsin anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know.
He was getting good in it. He was getting, for what he did, a lot of NIL money here. That I can tell you.
You know that?
You don't think he got NIL money here? Get out of here.
I don't know. I hate the fact that this is basically legalized cheating. So there's no, like, knowledge of what people are getting paid. And you could just, it's all conjecture. I don't like
It's not conjecture. I mean, I have a really good idea on what some of these guys are getting, and it's absurd. To me.
Okay.
So the question I have is, now that the loyalty component, and I am not one to castigate these guys. I want Connor Asigian to go get it. If he can go get $400K, go get it.
Yeah.
Right? If Chucky wants to leave, even though Chucky has been. My question is, do we welcome these guys back when they said to hell with you? And they should go get the money. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But does that mean, and I know this group of Badgers hadn't went, you know,
kind of
gotten in our hearts like the Ben Brust, Gosser, Frankie Kaminsky, Decker era teams did. But now are we still going to, like, when and if, and I don't think Chucky's going to be a pro, but are we going to celebrate Chucky? Because he gave us 3 good years, but he bailed on us?
Always
for
a
cash,
Badger.
Which, again, go
I said
get
he's
that
always
cash.
A Badger.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm on board with that. And does that make me a bad person for not being on board? I don't think I am on board with it.
It's a little grudgy.
You made a decision. God bless you. It's a great decision for you financially. But does that mean I still have to root for you? No, I'm not going to. I'm not.
It is a I agree with you. It is complicated now.
Especially, are you going to root for Chucky Hepburn? And are you going to welcome him back to an alumni golf outing? Do you want – he's not going to get a degree. Did he lead us to a Big Ten championship? I don't know. I think he did. I don't remember.
Regular
for sure.
Season, he hit that big three against Purdue.
2020 virtual national championship.
I don't know if he was part of that, though. I don't think so. He's only been here 3 years.
No, he was on that.
Maybe the math.
He was on the Johnny Davis team that lost in Milwaukee in the second round, but they won the regular season.
But do you understand? Do you guys understand what I'm asking here?
It's a great
question.
Because
I am always pulling for Badgers in all walks. I have never jumped on the Russ Wilson train because he was here for 5 months and we lost three games. Didn't even win a Rose Bowl. So I've never understood that part of it. But at least he finished his career here. With Chucky, he gave us a lot. And I want to make sure he's respected for that. But do I have to celebrate him as a Badger when he left for a nice truckload of cash? I don't think I do.
Doesn't it, doesn't it depend what he does at the next stop he makes?
Help me. I'm asking you guys to help me through my feelings.
Put yourself in that spot. That's how we help you. Because if Youngstown State had come along and asked Mark Tauscher, hey, we want you, and we'll give you $500K, which you can invest into Grouch's
Deuces, Badgers,
veterinary bills and whatever $500K. Else. Right, and then would we still love you? Would we still want you back?
I would not expect. I would not expect you. I would not. First off, I would have never done anything on the field at Wisconsin if that was a minimal.
Fair.
Back That's all the true. Other stuff. So that and Chucky obviously has done a ton on the court for 3 years.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So that's why I can't equate it to myself. I can't put myself. I'm talking strictly as a Badger basketball fan. I love the Badger basketball team. How I answer that question maybe will change in a year. But how I feel right now, it's like I don't have any ill will towards Chuck. None.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to embrace him back as a Badger. I don't.
Well, we have to embrace a commercial break. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
We'll get into more of the things that Goody talked about today during tomorrow's show. But Tausch, before we go, again, the Chucky Hepburn dilemma that you have, like, this is going to be commonplace, not just for Wisconsin, but for all schools. I mean, there's people that win a national championship and then transfer for their final season of eligibility to play somewhere else just to do something different and get some money in their pocket. So how are you? What's your inclination on how you're going to adjust?
I think if you bring a national championship, I am all in with you. Like A.J. Storr, hey, great, explosive wing player. Not a Badger to me. Like, I think it great, appreciate your 6 months
here. A mercenary.
Blah, blah, blah. I appreciate everything you've done, but no. Chucky's more complicated to me. And I think as time elapses, I will always be a Chucky fan, but not as I sit here on the 22nd of April. I'm more inclined to say, I'm glad you got that cash. Go ahead. But I got a lot of work to do to get through these feelings.
In the conference, I might add, as well. So you'll be seeing him against the Badgers next season. All right, that's it for us today. Again, we'll get into a lot more about the draft. That starts on Thursday. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.